This hour, we're talking about the intelligence of plants. Of course, in Western culture, that's an oxymoron. Intelligence, according to the traditional definition, belongs to creatures with brains, not leaves. But when Steve Paulson sat down to talk with anthropologist Jeremy Narby, he told Steve about an intelligent single-celled amoeba.
My favorite, the slime mold Physarum polycephalum. Well, this is a peculiar single-celled organism. It usually behaves like a glistening mass of mucus that swarms over and engulfs its food. It's hardly a prime candidate for intelligence. But Japanese researchers, led by Toshiyuki Nakagaki and Hokkaido University, thought to put this blob-like organism into a miniature maze. And initially, this slime spread out and filled all the corridors of the maze. But when the researchers put food at the entrance and exit of the maze, the slime mold withdrew from the corridors that led to nowhere and reduced its body down to a tube spanning the shortest distance between food sources.
So the slime mold solved the maze.
The slime mold solved the maze. The slime mold, a single-celled piece of slime, somehow calculated the shortest distance between food sources. When Nakagaki published the results of his research in Nature, he used the word intelligence to describe the slime's behavior. He said there were two reactions to this. Western journalists and researchers mainly questioned the use of the word intelligence applied to this organism, whereas Japanese researchers and journalists mainly wanted to know how such an organism had managed to do this. He ascribed the difference between the two camps to the animist background of Japanese culture, Shintoist culture, and to the Japanese word for intelligence, which is chi-sei, chi meaning to know and sei meaning the capacity to know. Well, Japanese people do not hesitate to attribute a capacity to know to all kinds of creatures, including slime molds.
Well, let's take another example here, because this kind of intelligence, if that's the word we want to use, seems to extend beyond the animal world. I mean, plants respond to environmental conditions. I mean, there are, for want of a better word, sort of decisions to be made as to, you know, where you want to spread your roots.
Okay, well, there's a parasitic plant called dodder. And dodder lives off other plants, and it actually moves around at a speed that we can't perceive. But if you use speeded-up cameras, you see it feeling its way around. And what it does, it doesn't set down roots. It gauges the nutritional content of plants and then decides whether it should extract that nutritional content or move on. And it turns out, the scientists have looked into this, that the dodder's foraging strategies have the same mathematical correctness as those of animal foragers. But dodder does this without the benefit of a brain. How it does it is not clear, once again, but it does do it. In other words, if dodder runs into a plant that is not that interesting nutritionally, then it is simply going to move on. When it runs into a nice, juicy plant, then it sends in all these tendrils and starts extracting the juice. So, you know, I mean, there's that Clash song, should I stay or should I go? Well, essentially, that's what dodder's line of business, you know.
Is it fair to say that this plant has some sense of purpose?
Well, you know, one would have to speak with dodder, and you could get dodder in here and do an interview, you know. I think purpose, the more I move forward with any of this, the more I think that each word has to be measured carefully.
Well, let me throw out another problematic word, consciousness. Uh-huh. Getting back to the slime mold and these dodder plants, mm-hmm. do they have consciousness?
So it has been said by quite a few people that only human beings have true consciousness. Well, if you've walked through Amazonian rainforest, as I have done with Ashaninka Indians, for example, and you come onto jaguar tracks, suddenly these Indians go really silent and they tell you to hush, and then they walk really fast to get out of there because they don't want to turn into cat food. And you can feel that when there is that feline intelligence lurking somewhere and maybe about to pounce on you and eat you, and you think, okay, only I have consciousness. and this other animal does not have consciousness, you know that's baloney. It may not be human consciousness, but it's jaguar consciousness, and it's smart. The problem is it's at least as smart as we are. It's so smart that it's going to jump on you before you know it. And these are animals that are right at the top of the food chain. Nobody eats them, and they eat more or less anybody. And they're extremely discreet. I mean, scientists have never even seen jaguars give birth in the wild. So top of the food chain, but discreet. I mean, we could learn a lot of things from jaguar intelligence. And I think this would really be a step forward in human intelligence, is taking the intelligence of other species sufficiently seriously so that we could start to learn from them. But actually, you know, things are changing. There's a growing movement in biomimicry of people who have understood that there's actually... Even single cells are intelligent. Even proteins inside cells seem to behave with some kind of intelligence, and yes, even purpose. So one can learn things from cells and from amoebas and from insects and trees, plants, weeds, blades of grass. These are all actually our cousins. If I go back in time, my parents, my grandparents, my great, and all the way back 2 billion years in time, and my direct ancestors are bacteria. So there it is. Every single life form on this planet is part of one family. It's our family.
Jeremy Narby is an anthropologist and author of the books Intelligence in Nature and The Cosmic Serpent. He talked with Steve Paulson.